Notice three words, verse 39, which to me are the three most important words in this entire great chapter's application. It says, "And these all." And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. I want to speak this morning on the subject, winners and winners. Winners and winners. We're all familiar with the phrase, winners and losers. It's become a political meme of late because, for example, the Dodd-Frank Act empowered these unelected bureaucrats, federal bureaucrats, to pick, quote, winners and losers. They designated four banks, as you know, large banks, as, quote, too big to fail. And of course, in the first debate, referring to green energy, one candidate said to the other, you don't pick winners and losers, you only pick the losers. And so it is that the phrase has become sort of popular and also in the world of sports. You have winners like the Detroit Tigers, amen, and losers like the New York Yankees. Amen. A lot of haters in here this morning. The Dolphins of late have become both winners and losers. Kind of good to see, although in my profit mode, I am guaranteeing this morning that the Dolphins will not lose this weekend. In fact, I'll take bets on it if anybody wants to bring your money up here. I'll use the offering this morning as our collateral for that matter, only because they're not playing this weekend and I know they're not going to lose. Although last year, when they had a bye week, somehow they found a way to lose, as I recall. And the truth is, you could divide almost every aspect of our culture into one of these two groups. Sports, politics, finances, health, winners and losers, public policy, war, even religion. The world loves to divide society up into winners and losers. And you know, you can be absolutely sure that even in this familiar list of individuals in Hebrews chapter 11, the world would say, verse 32, Jephthah, Gideon, Samson, David, Samuel, winners. Verse 33, they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions. Winners, winners, winners. But then, as we noted, there were the others. Verse 36 says, and others. In the middle of verse 35, you'll see the words, and others were tortured. Verse 36, others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. We read a moment ago, the others were escaped the edge of the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Losers. Losers, losers, losers. Because after all, in a world of winners and losers, if your son is resurrected, verse 35, then you're a winner. If you're stoned to death, verse 37, you're a loser. Escaped the edge of the sword, winner. Slain with the edge of the sword, loser. This is always the world's assessment. But we noted those first three words of verse 39 again, and these all obtained a good report. Winners and winners. Our Father, we need your help today, and we thank you for this powerful text in Scripture. Thank you for bringing it to my heart this week. I pray, Father, that we will hear and heed the admonitions, the warnings, the encouragement, and the conviction from it. May we recognize who are real winners in this world and why. And in so doing, Father, leave this place understanding and embracing the winning side. We'll give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Several days ago, I read something by an NBA athlete that I thought was very interesting. He said, quote, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost over 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I am a winner. Those are the words of Michael Jordan. Now, of course, in the world of basketball, I should say, by no standard could Michael Jordan be classified a loser. Yes, he stated here that he lost. He lost here and he lost there. He lost this and he lost that. He lost a lot. But because of the long-term perspective and because of the end of the story and because of the entire story, nobody would use the word loser in the realm of basketball with Michael Jordan. In the same way, this is the truth of Hebrews chapter 11. You see, it's an amazing chapter that gives the life reports of Old Testament characters, named and unnamed, who would all be divided up as winners and losers according to the world's evaluation, but who are all accounted in the Scripture as winners and winners. And of course, when you look at the Holy Spirit's record of their lives, you realize immediately that it's not by accident that all of these people with their differing circumstances were placed in the Word of God in two completely different categories. And then, in the final analysis, at the end of the chapter, they all together are accounted as one. Verse 32, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." In other words, the writer says, I don't even have the necessary time, the ink, the parchment, to tell you of all of the winners. And he had listed many more earlier in the chapter, all of the winners in the hall of faith. Those who subdued entire kingdoms. Those who stopped the mouths of lions, we think of Daniel. Those who quenched the violence of the fire. I think of the three Hebrew children who, by the way, didn't quench the fire, but they quenched the violence of the fire. And you know what? We love to preach on those characters. I do. I love to talk about they didn't bow and they didn't bend and they didn't burn. And everybody says, amen. These are the winners. And these are the ones that almost exclusively and always you hear on television preachers. The victims, not the victors. The victors, not the victims. Verse 34, women receive their dead raised to life again. And then it changes. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves in the earth. Now, wait a minute. Notice this amazing contrast. By way of illustration, I'm going to do something this morning that I've actually done before, and I'm going to split the audience in this room right down the middle. This aisle being the dividing point. So that on this side of the auditorium, all of you folks on my left up there, out there, you are all of the people that we read about in the first half of Hebrews chapter 11. You are the folks who subdued kingdoms. You are the folks who wrought righteousness. You're the crowd that escaped the violence of the sword, Joseph and Moses and Noah and Enoch. These are all on this side of the auditorium, winners. Anybody would call you. But you know, from this middle aisle and everybody here on the right side are those written in the last portion of Hebrews chapter 11. So that all of you here this morning, you represent those from verse 35, verse 38, who did not quench the violence of the fire. You are those who did not escape the edge of the sword. You are those who had cruel mockings and scourgings and bonds and imprisonments. And of course, none of your names are even written, listed in this chapter, except to say that you are the others of whom the world is not worthy. So that you see, both groups are in this chapter. Both groups are described, and both of them, ladies and gentlemen, together, are why this great chapter teaches us so much about what it really means to be a winner in the kingdom of God and in the light of eternity. What are those lessons? The first one I want you to notice, number one, is a lesson about burdens. Now, I want you to hear this very carefully. Everybody on this side of Hebrews chapter 11, everybody on my right, had burdens. And boy, did you ever. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were slain with the sword, destitute, afflicted, the Bible says tormented. People on this side of Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says were tortured, not accepting deliverance, meaning tortured to the death. That is the experience surrounding your life's testimony. But let me remind you, and what a lot of people overlook, unfortunately, is that even on this side of Hebrews chapter 11, all of you folks here that represent the other part, even on the sunnier side of Hebrews chapter 11, there were still a lot of affliction. 300 games were lost, I remind you, he said. We love the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Who doesn't? We love the story, the miracle of his great deliverance in that den. But remind you, I want to remind you that, folks, he was arrested. He was set up and hated by his enemies. He was falsely accused. He was apprehended. He was then thrown down into a den of lions. That all happened to Daniel. I mean, think about it for a moment. Does anybody in this room want to sign up for that experience? Forget nursery duty. Anybody want lion duty this morning? The same is true with the three Hebrew children. You know, we have children's songs about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den. When I was younger, we used to sing, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the king said, to the fire they go, and we all know. You know, it was a fun, giddy song. But folks, it was not a happy occasion. We noted they did not quench the fire. You do realize that. They did quench the violence of the fire so that they were still arrested. They were threatened. They were thrown into a furnace. Anybody want to join the furnace ministry and say, I'll go into that fiery furnace? Because they didn't know what was going to happen to them. But if not, verse 34 says that some on this side escaped the edge of the sword. Now, if you escape the edge of the sword and you're on the sunny side, I want to remind you that the edge of the sword was absolutely there. You escaped it, that's all. In other words, you were running for your life, and yes, beloved, the same is true for every single individual on this side of Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham and Noah, Joseph, Jacob, I don't care who it is, all of them experience almost identical troubles as those on this side of Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 35, look at it, would you? Women received their dead raised to life again. Amen. Preach it. Tell about the story of the widow Zarephath. Tell about her son being raised alive. But let me remind you, tell the rest of it. Her son got sick and he died. It was a burden and it was a heartache. She was becoming embittered against Elijah, the man of God, over this. This is a very important and helpful reminder from the Lord for all of us. Because as you consider the winners and what it means to be faithful, you consider this. It is a lesson for us and a reminder and a lesson to persevere, to keep running the race, to keep taking shots on goal no matter what, to wax valiant in the fight, not to grow weary and not to grow bitter. Look at verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. Now, folks, we know some of the ones in the Old Testament that God's describing here who wandered around. Elijah, Jeremiah, Amos. On some occasions, King David, he found himself wandering in caves and dens. And yes, as we've noted in the Psalms, there is the tendency and the temptation when you're on this side of Hebrews chapter 11, when you're on this side, you can become bitter or resentful. You might want to quit, and you can ask, why, God? Why did our people find the edge of the sword? And those people over there, they escaped the edge of the sword. Lord, why are we destitute, wandering in goatskins? And over there on that side, there are all kinds of testimonies of deliverance and prosperity and blessing and answered prayer. I don't understand, Lord. The temptation is to become bitter or doubtful, or to quit. But note this carefully. On this side of the same chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, there is another temptation. And that temptation is not to become bitter, but to become boastful. Bitter or boastful? Look at verse 29, would you? By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, when the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. What a great story. That's deliverance. But let me remind you what happened to a whole bunch of them when they crossed over at Sinai. With Pharaoh's army lying in the sea, they became prideful and they fell. Verse 30 says this, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and after after they were compassed about 7 days. Another great story. Again, we sing children's songs about the walls of Jericho, but remember what happened right after? At a place called Ai, a man named Achan, he did not receive a good report. Because in his pride and in his sin, he stole. You see, folks, the temptation on this side of Hebrews 11 is that of self-reliance and pride. And the temptation is to assume that you are better than this crowd that didn't escape either the violence of the fire, the edge of the sword, the mouth of the lion. And in that pride and prosperity, self-reliant smugness, some people on this side of Hebrews 11 decided to write books. How to be an overcomer. Why I'm a winner. 5 habits of highly effective lion slayers. The art of thinking big in the fiery furnace or whatever. So that, oh boy, the poor folks on this side, this is what I see in our society, they just scrape up enough money to read their book. You know, the skinny people write the books that chubby people like me read. But you see, in yielding to the temptation, either boastfulness or bitterness, you quit, you lose, you do not obtain a good report. You see, winning and losing or losing in God's economy is not a matter of whether you escaped the edge of the sword or didn't. It is not a matter, it's not measured by whether you did or didn't get healed in answer to prayer. God does not issue good reports according to the world's standard of success. And by the way, that's why when the world looks at Hebrews 11 and sees all the people on this side of the chapter, think about this for a minute. When the world sees in the Bible all of these folks, and when they read or they hear about people that crossed the Red Sea on dry land and marched around the walls of Jericho and stopped the mouths of lions or defeated the Philistine giant, the world looks at this side and says, those are myths and fables. And then when they read about those on this side of Hebrews chapter 11 of the Word of God as those who were slain with the sword and scourged and imprisoned and burned for their faith, then they say, well, where is your God? If a loving God, an all-powerful God, wouldn't let you go through this. Their thinking, in other words, is entirely myopic. They're concerning all the realities of life in the kingdom of God in this world. Burdens. It brings us to the second lesson in the text concerning winners and winners. A lesson about burdens, number two. You notice a lesson about belief. Of course there is, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, who wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might attain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. There's the testimony, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith. You have two sides of Hebrews 11, entirely different outcomes in the midst of almost identical trials. How did they both obtain the winner's trophy? And these all obtained a good report through faith. In other words, the faith that Daniel had as he prayed in the midst of lions was a wonderful thing. And Daniel was a winner. In fact, there are 3 names in the Old Testament of men who through faith stopped the mouths of lions, as it says in verse 33. There was David, there was Samson, and there was Daniel. What a winning testimony. They obtained that winning testimony because of faith. But ladies and gentlemen, I remind you that there were thousands and thousands of believers in the history of Christianity who had faith in God, but their faith did not stop the mouths of lions, who in fact, in Roman spectacles and colosseums, they themselves died, were tortured, not accepting deliverance. We don't sing many songs in Sunday school about those people. But in heaven, they were winners. In heaven, they obtained a good report. The 3 Hebrew children were thrown into a fire, and their deliverance of faith won the day. They had faith before they got in. Our God is able. If he doesn't deliver us, we still won't bow. They were thrown in, and they were delivered. The Bible says by faith, they were winners. You know, the world loves winners, doesn't it? The world doesn't love losers. When I was in college, a lot of sporting events would play a song by ABBA called "The Winner Takes It All." I'd sing it for you, but you would never be able to get it out of your head for the next week. The winner takes it all, the losers standing small. Beside the victory, that's a destiny. Really? Being a loser standing small for the rest of forever? Yeah. That's the way the world looks at it. We love to tell the story of the Daniels, sing songs about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I want to remind you that there are others. There are a multitude of people, believers, who were burned at the stake. They did not quench the violence of the fire. They were burned at the stake, not accepting deliverance. They had trial of cruel mockings, but in heaven they obtained a good report. Because you see, a winning record in heaven isn't determined by earthly outcomes. It's not a matter of success and failure as the world counts success. There are women in this room who've prayed and prayed. God gave you children when the doctor said it couldn't be done. And all the joy and the testimony and the naming of that little baby, a name that was indicative of God's grace and God's goodness. There are other women who've prayed and prayed in the exact same circumstance, but no miracle was granted to you. You love the same God. You've attended the same church. You claim the same verses. What is the difference? Well, I can tell you what it's not. It's not the difference between winning and losing. Not in God's eyes. See, Peter won without any doubt when he was miraculously freed from his death cell in Jerusalem in answer to people's prayers. But James, he also won. When from the very same cell he was executed just the night before. How was that, Pastor? And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. In other words, folks, it's not what you achieve and win and accomplish and acquire that matters to God. It's who you believe. And if you believe. In Hebrews chapter 11, all of these people that are listed here believed God. That's why they're listed. And all of these people, they believe God too. And that's why they're mentioned. Burdens and beliefs. The third thing I want you to notice, number three, is that both of these groups teach a lesson of blessing. Look at verse 39, and these all. And these all, having obtained a good report, through faith received not the promise. Now, this is an amazing thing. All of them received not the ultimate promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or complete. Go back to verse 13. What better promise? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You see, folks, note this carefully and I'm done. The reason why it is not a matter of simply escaping a sword, and it's not a matter of simply quenching the violence of some fire. The reason why it's not a matter of simply having a child raised to life is that God has promised a far, far better thing for all of us represented in this chapter. Verse 16, Hebrews 11, look at it, would you? But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what winning really comes to. Trophy day is not when you got a healing. It is not when you got a financial blessing down here. Those are blessings that you give God glory for. But trophy day, or the winner's circle, or the medal platform, or whatever you want to call it, that is when by God's grace and by God's gift, you get eternal healing and everlasting joy and perfect rest. That's why it says, be thou faithful unto death. And it says that these were faithful until their death. So what does the Holy Spirit add in conclusion to all that's written in this chapter? Because he does. The Holy Spirit takes everything that was written about Abraham by faith and Noah by faith and these who subdued kingdoms by faith and others who were beaten and had scourgings and died in faith. And these all obtained a good report. He takes all of this amazing truth and he brings it down to this application. You'll notice the next word of chapter 12 in verse 1 is the word wherefore. That's a concluding word, a connecting word. Wherefore, because of all this, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. It is a great cloud, all those who have gone before. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. In other words, whichever side you find yourself on at whatever part in your life, in your race that you're running, whether you would be classified as a winner right now or by the world standard a loser right now, whether you seem to be on the winning side or the losing side, it doesn't matter. What he's saying is, wherefore seeing this, run with patience. The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's simply saying, don't quit. You don't quit because of pride. You don't quit because of bitterness. You don't quit because the edge of the sword is close, because there may be deliverance coming from you, for you. You don't quit because there's a den of lions, because God is a miracle-working God and he may stop the mouths of those lions now and here. And you don't quit if you're tied to a post and the lions are coming, because God has a better promise. We're running for an eternal prize. Don't become boastful. Don't become bitter. Keep running your race with patience. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon with patience, looking unto Jesus. Winners. And winners in God's economy. Do you realize, and I know my dad used to say to me, if you don't quit, then you can never lose. You can never fail if you never quit. You can fall down, as Proverbs says, you can fall down 6 times and rise up 7, but if you never quit, if you just keep going, then you never really lose. In the race of faith, if you keep looking to Jesus and you just keep running and you run with patience, the race is set before you. Ultimately, it doesn't matter which side of this chapter your life is best described by. Ultimately, we all obtain a good report by faith. Our Heavenly Father, how grateful we are as always for your word, the reminder of those who've gone before us, but even more than those people, those heroes of the faith, we are reminded, God, of your faithfulness and your goodness and your strength-giving power. And I pray, Father, that in that realm and that truth, we will continue to run with patience our race. And so doing, Father, be a testimony of your goodness and your grace, and a testimony, Lord, of your truth, that there's more to eternity than just this world. And we thank you, God, for these winners all in your word because of faith. May we have that faith. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Hey, glad you're saved. Amen. Greet our visitors. See you tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.